Morning. Hallelujah, church. He is our portion. He is our salvation. So we had our banquet this Thursday. God blessed us. We raised just over $27,000, and there's still more to come. We'll probably have the final number in, I'd say, a couple weeks. But, man, God blesses. He blesses beyond measure. And His Word says when we ask, He gives immeasurably more than what we ask. He does that, church. He gives us exactly what we need. Praise the Lord. There's the song that we sing, Our God. There's a verse and it says, Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Awesome in power is our God. Church, this is an amazing thing to know, that the Lord is powerful, that He has all authority on heaven and on earth. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is everything to us. You know you have a good pastor? Not me. Pastor Jimmy and Carla, they're a wonderful pastor. So pray for them as they're on vacation, that they'll relax, that they'll unwind. Because listen to me, your pastor works. And he works hard. He goes all over the place. His mind runs so fast, he forgets what he did yesterday. Many of you know that if you talk to him. So thank the Lord for your pastor here. Amen? Amen. Pray for me. I don't fall over today. I'm not feeling the greatest. Some of you know that I have had vertigo for the past couple of weeks, and it's a little shaky up here, but I'm grabbing a hold of this tightly. So if I fall over, expect me to preach from the ground, because I'll preach from the ground. Amen. Amen, church. Well, I'm glad we're happy this morning. I'm glad we're joking around. I'm glad we're filled with joy. Hopefully you are filled with joy, knowing that your Savior is Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Amen. I want to read here just for a moment. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. You know, I like to read a lot of verses, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm never going to change that. I'm going to read 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10 through 13. There's something that David prays here, and I think it's so wonderful, and it kind of sets this up for us this morning. It says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You have exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Amen, church. Praise Him, because His greatness and His power and His glory and His majesty and His splendor is above all. Everything on earth is His. Everything in heaven is His. And this is the amazing piece about Matthew chapter 8. I call it the healing highlights. The healing highlights. I think it's a wonderful thing, but listen to me. Never forget, church, that your God is powerful. There is no one more powerful than God. There is no one more powerful than the Lord. Never think God cannot help you in whatever situation you're facing in life. There is no one stronger than God. There's no one able to help you the way that God can help you with whatever situation you're facing. Why? Because He has all authority. All authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth. He has all authority, church. See, there are many people who think God is not powerful enough. Have you ever been there, church? You ever been in a place where, well, God will help somebody else, but He won't help me? He's just not big enough to help me with my big problem. He's just not big enough to help me with my situation in life. There's many people who have thought that. There's sometimes I've thought that. God, are you really as powerful as you say you are? Are you really as mighty and strong and glorious as you say you are? As I see in your word? So I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you think God can help you in your life? Do you think God can actually help you in your life? That's a personal reflection you have to ask yourself. Do you really think God is big enough in your life? Do you think He's big enough, church? Let's start here in chapter 8, starting in verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed Him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Here, listen to me, church. There's this man with leprosy. Do we know what leprosy is? It's a skin disease. It's so bad that they were pushed out of the city. Exiled. They couldn't be around anybody. They were in their own little communities. Unclean. That's what they were deemed. Unclean. They couldn't be around anybody because it was contagious. He was deemed unclean. And listen to the humility that this man has. It says, the man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Knelt before the Lord. It says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Not, I think you can make me clean. You can make me clean. He understood the power of the Lord. The power of Jesus Christ. He was unclean, but wow, the incredible humility and faith of this one man to come and kneel before the Lord, a person that he's probably heard about, he's probably heard that he's done other miracles. And listen to me, he came and knelt before him. When's the last time you've been on your knees asking God to make you clean, to heal your life, whether that's physical or spiritual? Let me tell you, church, he can do both. He can do both in your life. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And this is important. He understood the power of Christ. He understood how mighty that God actually is. How mighty the Lord Jesus Christ actually is. He came and knelt. Jesus says, here in verse 3, says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man and says, I am willing. He said, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed from his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you do not tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And this is a huge piece here, church. Christ has the power to make us clean. But this is the most important thing. What's he say? I am willing. Jesus is willing to make you clean. Jesus is willing to heal you, to heal your life. Can you imagine this man comes humbly before Jesus, gets on his hands and knees, and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And wow, what an amazing words to hear from Jesus Christ. I am willing. And this is important to understand, church, that we all are filthy of sin. We are all unclean of sin in our life. But listen to me when I tell you, Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing. I hope you've experienced that in your life, the salvation of your souls. He's willing, church. Willing to make you clean. Willing to make us clean. We're all filthy of sin, but Christ makes us clean. You can't get clean any other way. You can scrub your life with everything in this world, all the things, but it will never make you clean. But Jesus Christ says, I'm willing. I'm willing to make you clean. What an amazing piece. And then he tells him to go see, don't tell anyone, but to show yourself as a testimony. Should we not be doing that with our lives, church? When Jesus actually makes us clean, should we not be going to those who knew we were unclean, filthy, and show them what Jesus actually did in our life? The cleaning of your souls. Isn't it an amazing thing to get to tell somebody, wow, I used to be this person, but wow, Christ has made me a new creation. Christ has saved my soul. He's washed me clean. He's made me white as snow. What an amazing testimony for this man to once have so filthy skin disease, contagious, but to get to stand before the people who cast him out and say, Jesus Christ, clean me. I'm clean. I'm clean. When's the last time you've showed somebody that you've been cleaned? That you've been cleaned. That's an important thing to understand. Let's move on. Verse 5. That's why I call this the healing highlights. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Listen to me, church. This man is standing in the gap for his servant. These two people don't really ever speak. This centurion and Jesus, Jews didn't like the Roman army. They didn't typically speak to each other. But what does Jesus say to him? Shall I come and heal him? But here we see the same thing, the incredible humility and faith of this man. I don't deserve you, Lord, to come under my roof. I don't deserve you, Jesus, how awesome and great that you are to come in my house. You are so powerful, Jesus, that all you have to do is speak it and he'll be saved. That is how powerful Jesus Christ is. I hope that we're standing in the gap for those who aren't saved, for those who need the healing. Because listen to me when I tell you, church, Jesus is powerful enough to save them, even from your prayers, from your intercession, because you were willing to stand in the gap for them. He's willing to save. He's willing to heal, church. He's that powerful just to speak it. Just to speak it. What does Jesus say here in verse 10? When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Listen to me. Jesus offers help to everyone. This is what is maybe a confusing piece for some of you when he says, I say that many will come from the east and the west, and he goes on there. What's he talking about? He's not saying just a Jew is saved. He's saying everyone might be saved. But he's speaking to the religious leaders here, and he said, you who think you're okay, who think you've got it all right, he says, you will be subjects of the kingdom, thrown outside into darkness, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then this is the beautiful, beautiful piece. Jesus tells us in turn, go. Let it be done just as you believed. Do you believe Jesus can actually do the things that he says he can do? You do? Do you actually believe that when somebody's on their deathbed that Jesus actually has the ability to heal them? There's some churches that don't believe Jesus heals anymore. There's churches, there's Christians today that think God's not, doesn't have a hand in our lives anymore. What a scary place to be, to think that Jesus is so far away from you that he can't actually step in and help you. Church, know this for sure, that Jesus can help you at every moment of your life. He's that powerful. He's that powerful to actually step down and heal a sinner like us, to save a sinner like us. He has that ability, church. Listen to me. Listen to me when I tell you, Christ still heals today. He still heals today. Jesus has the power to heal even from afar. Even from afar. Why? Because the Father has given him all authority. All authority on earth and in heaven are his. And we're co-heirs with him. We're co-heirs with him. We're adopted into the family of God with him. You know how blessed we are, church, to serve a Savior that is so powerful and so willing to help us in any moment of our life. What's the requirement? What's the requirement that we've seen from this Roman centurion and the man with leprosy? Humility. And faith. Church, you got humility and you got faith, you're set. When you can get on your hands and knees and pray and actually believe with no doubt that Jesus can actually do what you ask him to do, you live a little bit happier. When you actually believe Jesus is the person he says he is, you live a little bit happier in your life. Let's move on. Verse 14. When Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. This is just a small piece, but wow, what an amazing thing that Peter, a disciple, his mother-in-law's laying in bed with a fever, and Jesus just touches her. It says he touched her hand, and the fever left her. You know, Jesus can heal in a moment. You could be lying in bed for years of your life. And if Jesus is willing, he can heal you in a moment. And you'll get up. We see it through the Word of God. And I know there's some of you could testify to that, that he's healed you in a moment. Praise the Lord. And what does it say? She got up and began to wait on him. Listen to me, church. I think sometimes Jesus heals us so often. He makes us clean so often. But wow, we don't get up and wait on him. We don't get up and serve him when he heals us. We don't get up and praise him when we see a healing or he heals us. What do? We just go about life and we forget the amazing thing we've just seen. You ever look back at your life? Say, wow, man, I never thank God for that. I never thank God for what he did for me back then. Way he healed my life back then, or saved me from going to jail, or saved me from ODing, or saved me from this or that. Oh, wow, I forgot who actually saved my life, who actually healed my life. Listen to me, church, we often forget, but wow, what an amazing testimony that Peter here sees his mother-in-law once in bed for however long she was in bed for. Jesus healed her in a moment. Touched her, that's it. And she got up and began to wait on him. How excited do you think Peter's mother-in-law was? To be in bed, fever, maybe not knowing if tomorrow will come. I don't know how bad the fever was. But how excited she must have been to be completely healed. I hope I'm reminding you today that Jesus still heals. I don't want you to forget, because when you're in those moments and you don't know what to do and you don't know where to turn to, listen to me when I tell you, there's no one greater to turn to than Jesus Christ. There's no one better to turn to for a healing in your life than Jesus Christ, whether that is spiritual or whether that is physical. I believe Jesus can still heal our physical ailments today. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Listen to me when I tell you that Christ has power not only over the physical, but he has power over the spiritual. There are some of you today that have been tormented in your life by evil forces, by Satan, by demons. Listen to me when I tell you that Jesus has power over Satan. Jesus has power over the demons. He can cast them out. He can cast them out, church. What does he say? He drove out the spirits with a word and healed the sick. He drove them out with a word. And listen to me, we cannot do that. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can heal you from the torment you have. Why? Because Satan and the demons have no power over Christ. They have no power over Christ. And I hope that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because when you become a believer, he lives inside you. You have that same power. Satan and the demons have no power over you if you have Jesus Christ. He is powerful. And this is the beautiful piece about Matthew here in chapter 8. He uses the prophet Isaiah. He says, he took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. This is the whole point, I think, why Matthew puts all these together right here, to show that Jesus Christ is actually who he says he is. He's the Messiah. He's our Savior. We have no doubt. No doubt that Jesus is who he says he is. You might be struggling, thinking that Jesus, is he really our Savior? Is he really the Messiah? Well, I think here in Matthew we see, just from this small piece, and this is just a small one, there's other ones. In the book of Isaiah, he took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. What a blessing. And listen to me when I tell you, you might have diseases and infirmities your whole life here, But because Jesus Christ, the power of the cross, one day you'll live in heaven with Jesus. And listen to me, those infirmities and diseases are no more. They're gone. No one has any diseases in heaven. No one is suffering in heaven. No one has anguish or torment in heaven. Why? The cross. Because Jesus took up our infirmities and bore our diseases on the cross. They're no more. They're laid to waste. Wow, we might have to deal with them for a moment here. But listen to me, did you hear what I said? A moment. But if you have Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life in heaven, where there is no diseases or infirmities. Because why? Jesus has cleaned all of it and cast it as far as the east is from the west. This is important to understand. Remember, church, remember that Jesus not only has power over the physical, he has power over the spiritual. He does. If you're struggling with mental illness in your life, whatever it might be, listen to me when I tell you, Jesus has power over the mind. He does. You can actually trust Jesus. You can actually put your trust in Jesus. Why? Because he has all authority and power. All authority and power. I'll say it again. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Awesome in power is our God. And I hope that we're tapping into this understanding this morning that I don't think we can even understand the power of Christ, the power of God in our life, the Holy Spirit. I don't think we can quite understand that. Here in 18 through 22, I'm not going to read it because it doesn't really go with what we're talking about, but this is important. There is a cost to following Jesus. This is what he talks about here. And he says, we got to give everything to Christ, our whole life. That's the cost, our life. But wow, it's not even comparable to the cost that he's given. Verse 23, then he got up into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Listen to me, church. The winds and the waves obey Jesus Christ. Not only does he have power over our physical bodies, not only does he have power over the spiritual realm, our spirit, but listen to me when I tell you, he has power over all creation. That's how much authority Jesus Christ has. That's how much authority Jesus Christ has. Listen to me. We ought not to be afraid when the world becomes chaotic. Is it getting pretty chaotic, church? Can we agree to that? We ought not to be afraid. Why? Because we serve the Christ who has power over this world. We serve the Christ who can calm the storm physically or spiritually in your life. Whatever storms of life you might be going, listen to me when I tell you, Jesus has the power to calm it. We ought not to be afraid when our own life becomes chaotic. Because listen to me, can we testify, church, that our life becomes chaotic at times, even if we are believers in Christ? My life sure gets pretty chaotic. But Jesus has power over all of it. Jesus has power to calm it. Calm it. Still. Give us that peace. That hope. Have faith, church. Stand strong. He tells the disciples, he replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? They must have forgot who was in the boat with them. They must have forgot for a minute. Their eyes were so fixated on the storm. They must have forgot who was in the boat with them. The one they seen heal the leper. The one they seen heal the centurion's servant from afar. The one who cast out demons. They must have forgot who was in the boat. And I'll remind you again, who lives inside you? Who lives in the boat of your life? Jesus Christ. He has the power to calm it, church. The power to calm your life. Let him do it. What's he say in the beginning? To the leper, I am willing. You know, most of the problems we have in our life are due to the fact that we won't actually let Jesus work in our life. We won't actually let Jesus have power over our life. But when we give him all control, wow, does he do a good job. Amen. 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 He does a great job. Chapter 9. I won't read the whole book of Matthew, I promise. So Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man, lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up, went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. Did we catch what's going on here in this story, church? Listen, there's a paralyzed man. He's lying on a mat. Some men brought him in, and Jesus saw their faith. They're coming to the one they know can actually do something about it. And what does he say to this man? He says, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Listen to me when I tell you this, church. Jesus has the power to forgive sin. Not only does Jesus have the power over our physical or spiritual, over all creation, but Jesus has so much authority, he can forgive our sins. The wrongs that we commit, the sinful, shameful things that we do, the uncleanliness of our own soul, he has the power to forgive our sins. Amen, church. We would not be here where we're at if Jesus did not have power to forgive our sins. He says, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." This is a huge thing. He deals with the man's spiritual need before he deals with his physical. Listen to me when I tell you, your spiritual need is much more important than your physical need. Much more important. Our sins need to be forgiven way before our bodies need to be forgiven. Way before our bodies need to be healed. And this is such an amazing piece to know. And listen, it says the man got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God. They were filled with awe and they praised God. Have you ever been filled with awe for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been filled with awe and just praised him? "Wow, God, how were you able to do that? How are you able to take someone who was so angry? Someone who had the worst temper and take it all away? How are you able to take someone who did drugs over and over and over again in their life and take it all away?" Have you ever just been filled with awe? Knowing that Jesus Christ is so powerful, that he's so mighty, but listen to me, church, that he's so loving and gracious to us, that he would say, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." That all we have to do is confess our sins to him. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all you got to do, church. Trust in Jesus with your heart. And listen to me. I'll say it again. Your spiritual need is much more important than your physical need. Much more important. He has the power to forgive. The power to make your life right. And just like the centurion for his servant, he has the power to make your family's heart right. Maybe you're here today and mom or dad doesn't believe, brother or sister doesn't believe. They want nothing to do with you because you're a Christian. You know, you ought to stand in the gap for them because one day they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus will say, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Amen. I'll share a story with you. I don't want to share it. But I really feel like the Lord, I even mentioned it to Jimmy. He said, "Do it anyways." Because it's a personal story. I'm going to try not to cry. It's an intimate story. But as many of you know, my mom had cancer. She got lung cancer, and I prayed for my mom for 8 years that she'd get saved. And then about when she got diagnosed with lung cancer, I prayed even harder that the Lord would save her soul. And he did. Just a few months later, it wasn't even from me, from people from Florida. That's how powerful God is. He can use someone from states away. Saved her. But you know how bad I wanted her to be healed? I prayed over and over and over. Over and over, begged God to heal my mom. Why? Because I thought I was so happy she was saved. I wanted her to be able to be here at church, read the Bible, just get to be surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said? I kept praying, I said, Lord, heal her. Heal her. And you know what Jesus said? I already did. And I'll miss my mom for a moment now. For a moment instead of for all of eternity. I'll get to see my mom again. Amen, church. Those who have passed on in your life, who are believers in Christ, you get to see them again. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. That's a sad story, but wow, there's so much joy in it. There's so much joy in it. Don't ever think I'm mad at God for not saving her physically. Because like I said, it's much more important for God to take care of your spiritual need way before your physical. We're not promised a healing here. We're not. Now, praise the Lord and be filled with awe and praise when God does it, because he still does it. Be happy when he does it. Be excited. Tell somebody. Tell somebody when God heals your life. Whether that is inside you or whether that's an actual physical ailment, whatever it is, tell somebody so they know that God could actually do that for them. Come on, church. Come on. Jesus has power and authority to heal. Know this. Remember it. Live by it. He has power to help those who need it, who come to him in humility and faith. Be humble. Don't just go to God and say, God, you saved me, but I expect you to do this or that, or make God jump on your own bandwagon like Jimmy says. Just follow him. And you'll be surprised what God actually does in your life. The amazing testimonies you have. The awesome testimonies you have. There are so many of you who could share so many different stories of maybe just last week of what God has done in your life. God doesn't just work with us once. He continues to work with us every single day of our life. Praise him for it, church. Praise him for it. And listen to me when I tell you, church, Christ still has the power to save. I don't know where you're at in your life. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Christ. Maybe you want one today. Maybe you want to be saved today. Can I tell you, Jesus has the power to do it? There is no man, no woman, no king, no president that has the power to save. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ in heaven, has the power to save. The power to heal. The power to restore, church. To restore your relationship with God. All those horrible things you've done in your life, I've done them. Christ can take them all away and adopt you into the family of God. No longer be outside. But you get a place at the table. A seat at the table. with the one who saved your life. Amen, church. Amen. Let's stand.